The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Lots to get to on today's program. First, I'll update you on some of the stats leading up to the campaign in Red Deer, Canada. We've got that set for Sunday night and Monday night as well, or Sunday late afternoon, I guess it would be. And then following that, we'll be heading over to Spokane, not that far from Red Deer, Canada. Spokane, of course, is in Washington State. As of today, we have 117 registered. These are non-members, non-PCG members. 117 registered for Red Deer, which means we're anticipating about 53, just judging by past percentages on the follow-through rate. So 53 or more. At the Red Deer campaign. And Spokane, we have 92 registered. So again, if we get about half or a little less than half to follow through on that, we're expecting about 41. So that's certainly something to be praying about. I spoke with our regional director up in Canada yesterday, and it looks like everything is set and organized. And the details, of course, to carry out will be there'll be quite a few of details still to work out, but we're looking forward to that, taking our crew up there, and hopefully, although I haven't talked to the crew here as much yet, but hopefully we'll be able to update you on the radio show from the hotel, or maybe record some segments in advance. We'll see how that goes. Speaking of recordings, we've got the audio mailbag today. We'll reserve that for the end of the program, as well as a few other comments that have been submitted in written form. But some really good comments, a couple minutes worth at the end of today's program that you won't want to miss. Coming up here in the first segment, we'll play quite a few clips from the kickoff campaign last night in Orlando. President Trump spoke, the vice president. I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders came up for, I was able to see a good bit of it as I don't get the opportunity to do that much at Edstone because it happens during the night for us. So it was interesting watching most of the event last night. And as I was saying on yesterday's program, it wasn't just the event at the arena that sits about 20,000 people. They had a day-long event with food trucks outside, jumbotrons. People had been lined up for, I think, 42 hours, as I mentioned on yesterday's program. So we'll play some clips and make some comments on that here in just a moment. First, though, I thought, again, more news of the work. Yesterday, I referred to the feedback that we got from the Israeli Prime Minister's office regarding the seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah discovered. Also, last week, our Armstrong International Cultural Foundation, they attended this event. I think it was in Shawnee, Oklahoma, where they were handing out awards to Oklahoma outfits that were doing their best to spread the Oklahoma culture and heritage. And I'll just read here from our news release regarding this award that we unexpectedly received at this ceremony last week. It says the AICF received accolades at the 2019 Central Oklahoma Frontier Country Awards on June 14th at the Grand Casino Hotel and Resort in Shawnee. That's just a little ways east of Oklahoma City. It says the foundation was recognized for excellence in promoting tourism in central Oklahoma as the recipient of the Outstanding Temporary Exhibit Award for its archaeological exhibit, Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered. And it goes on and talks about the exhibit and how that it ran from June of last year right through to April 1st of this year there in the grand lobby of Armstrong Auditorium. So we're, of course, we're continuing to work closely with Dr. Ilhat Mazar. There's no excavation going on at the moment, but we do have pretty good contact with her in Jerusalem with our Jerusalem representative, Brent Nachtigall, and his family. And we made a trip there recently as well. So we're certainly hoping and praying for more activities in the weeks and months ahead. Well, this this campaign event, President Trump kicking off his reelection campaign in Orlando, Florida, Central Florida, last night. Politico says Trump stages his greatest show yet. It was quite an event. Yesterday, I just mentioned that if you compare his events to any of the Democrat front runners, just the eye test tells you a lot. It says here, as soon as Trump took the stage in his signature red tie, the crowd seemed pleased to have waited. They greeted him with USA chants as he recalled the movement that he started 4 years ago. Just 2.5 years into his presidency, and of course this time around he's able to present some of the accomplishments of his administration. And of course this time around he knows a lot more about the deep state and the attempt by the deep state to destroy his presidency, to destroy his campaign even before he became president. My father and... I'll come to that in just a second. Let me just first play a clip from, this is from CBS News, commenting on how people were coming from even different states to attend this event. As I say, 42 hours in advance, they were lining up. Here's CBS as it's describing this event. This is clip 7.
This is an event being held at the Amway Center in Orlando, a facility that holds about 20,000 people. The president had claimed in recent days that about 100,000 people had RSVP'd to the event. There was a day-long festival there outside the arena where supporters of the president were gathered, and there were reports about this time last night that there were already a handful of people who had been waiting for hours to get a seat in the venue, a sign perhaps of the sustained support for the president there in Central Florida. But in a sign that it's not just confined to the Sunshine State, some of those that were in line early were coming from places like Texas and other states, just eager to be there for the first event, first formal event of the president's reelection campaign.
A sign, perhaps, of the sustained support for President Trump. All the polls now, all the polls, remember, they say that he's losing double digits. He's behind Joe Biden. That's what the polls all say, as I covered on yesterday's program. Here's what President Trump's campaign manager has to say about those polls. Clip 8.
I just think the country's too complex now just to call a couple hundred people and ask them what they think. There are so many ways and different people that are going to show up to vote now. The way turnout now works, the abilities that we have to turn out voters, the polling can't understand that. And that's why it was so wrong in 2016. It was 100% wrong. Nobody got it right.
Nobody got it right 2.5 years ago. And that really should be the big story whenever you talk about polls. Why do they keep getting it wrong? And again, look at your video screen. Look at this arena. And then look at, by contrast, look at the opponents. Look at how many people show up for those events. This article, Saving America from the Radical Left, you're very familiar with that, many of you. My father wrote it a little over a year ago. But he said when you compare what the president is doing to what his predecessor did, there has been a clear change in direction, one that will slow the speed at which America is being pulled apart. And he goes on to talk about some of the things President Trump and his administration is doing. They're not undermining or trashing the Constitution. They're not trying to fundamentally transform the United States. They want to make America great again. And now the new slogan is to keep America great. It's interesting, the beginning of the campaign last night, this event in Orlando. I think she was the first speaker. And from what I read, this gal, Paula White is her name. She's been President Trump's spiritual advisor for 18 years, I think it is. Almost two decades. And so she comes out in front of this huge crowd of 20,000 people and begins the event with a prayer. And this is just a short segment or snippet of her her prayer last night. Clip one.
Let every evil veil of deception of the enemy be removed from people's eyes in the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. For you said in your word, so I'm going to deal with some principalities now, okay? Because you said in your word in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So right now, let every demonic network that has aligned itself against the purpose, against the calling of President Trump, let it be broken. Let it be torn down in the name of Jesus. Let the counsel of the wicked be spoiled right now. According to Job chapter 12 verse 17, I declare that President Trump will overcome every strategy from hell and every strategy of the enemy, every strategy, and he will fulfill his calling and his destiny. Destroy and divide their tongues, O Lord, according to Psalm chapter 55 verse 9. Give President Trump strength to bring forth his destiny. According to Isaiah chapter 66 verse 9, let the secret counsel of wickedness be turned to foolishness right now in Jesus' name.
Wow. That's quite a fiery, fiery prayer. It tells you something, and it's right in line with what the president himself has been saying. This demonic network. If she only knew. If they only knew. Revelation 12, that's the new reality. These past many years, Satan being cast down, the demons confined to this earth. Verse 7 of that chapter says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. No more place for them in heaven. And so now they're here, and we're being attacked. Our nations are under attack. And Jeroboam's religion is not the solution, as we well know. But they are right about the attack coming from the radical left. And there is such a thing as a demonic network. It says in the Great Again booklet, the radical left is not our big problem. Ultimately, this isn't about a man or an administration. It's about an evil spirit being who's working to destroy this nation and about why God is allowing it to happen. This battle, it's not going to end well for either side. But it's also correct to say that this assault coming from the radical left, it is ripping apart the United States of America. And just because many of them are now out of office, as I alluded to yesterday, I'll come to this more in a moment, just because they're now out of office doesn't mean that they have given up in the fight. They're still fighting. This article I mentioned yesterday, Andrew Miller, it's going to be in the Trumpet pretty soon, but his working title right now is Yesterday's Spies, Today's Journalists. Some of the top spies of the Obama administration, they've just settled into these cushy jobs at MSNBC or CNN, and now they're seen as experts. In fact, they're just carrying on with this nefarious plot to bring down President Trump. Working in collusion with the media. These powerful people, they didn't quite accomplish what they set out to do in destroying his candidacy in 2016, but they had the insurance policy, and they're using that. They're still using it. They won't let go. This is from Andrew Miller's draft. Well, I'll just paraphrase. He refers to that meeting, January 5th, 2017. All of those top Obama officials, including Obama himself, they were right there plotting. They were right there preparing for the setup. Jim Comey was going to be the one to set up the president of the United States. And he had a lot of help from Brennan and Clapper. But Obama was there. Obama was directing everything. And now what? Well, it's 2-3 years on, and they've just settled off into retirement. Not really. Not so. As I said yesterday, Barack Obama, this is, again, paraphrasing from Andrew's piece. Barack and Michelle Obama signed a deal with the online video giant Netflix, and they're going to be producing a series of anti-Trump documentaries. So they continue on. He's advising Joe Biden. Of course, Joe Biden was the vice president at the time. Now he's running for president. Susan Rice, she was in the Oval Office meeting. She was right there with all of those top spies. She works for Netflix as a member of the board of directors. Pretty big job for these former Obama officials. Here's what Andrew says. James Clapper, also in the meeting, works as a CNN national security analyst and is spreading the rumor that Trump is encouraging the Russians to interfere in the 2020 elections. So they were saying this for 2 years. He worked with Vladimir Putin. He worked with Vladimir Putin to rig the 2016 election. And then finally the 440-some page report comes out. No collusion. No conspiracy. It was just a hoax. It was bogus right from the beginning. So now they say, well, but he's going to do it in 2020. It's the same story, the same narrative. CNN has also hired, this is from Andrew's article, listen to this. CNN has also hired former CIA director Michael Hayden, retired CIA operations officer Stephen Hall, former National Security Council advisor Samantha Vinograd, former FBI official James Gagliano, and former FBI counterintelligence agent Aisha Rangappa. He quotes from Tablet Magazine, which says, with the advent of the Russiagate hoax, Rangappa has become one of the best-known faces of a new hybrid industry in which former national security bureaucrats are rebranded as journalists. Now they're journalists. These deep state bureaucrats. What did Andrew say on the title? Yesterday's spies, today's journalists. Now they bring you the news. Now they're helping to bring objectivity to the news. They would have you believe. Andrew says, meanwhile, MSNBC has hired former CIA director John Brennan, also in the meeting as a national security analyst. Like Clapper, Brennan has been accused of leaking to the press classified information, claiming Russia had meddled in the 2016 election. His goal is to defame and depose President Trump, and an agenda he can continue pushing in his new job. Just read his Twitter feed. It says further on, NBC has also hired Chuck Rosenberg, former chief of staff for FBI Director James Comey, Frank Figliuzzi, former chief of FBI counterintelligence, Juan Zarate, former deputy national security advisor, and Ken Delanian, the Los Angeles Times reporter who was caught sending drafts of his article to Obama's CIA for approval before publishing. Can you believe this? This is quite the demonic network. It's still working. Andrew writes, many Obama-era spies and intelligence officials are now working for the very news agencies that publish these leaks. They worked with them covertly leaking, lying. And then a new administration comes into the town, and of course they're shocked by the loss politically. But then they just settle into these other jobs, and they continue their work of destruction. Tablet magazine says it's hard to imagine anything worse for a democracy than journalists coordinating with political operatives and spies who are paid by the press to leak information about American citizens. It's like the president said last night, so much unlawful activity has been going on these past several years, and they've been exposed. They're exposed. He's exposing them. He's exposing this network. It's interesting. You look at I forget when she made her announcement, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, but she was the White House press spokesman. She spoke for the president. And the way that the journalists responded, the news media, commentators, the way they responded, here she's just been the spokesman for the White House, the spokesperson for the White House for the past, whatever, year and a half. I don't know the exact time frame. And she's done a pretty good job of projecting President Trump's agenda. But listen to this montage, the media reaction to the announcement she made a few days ago that she was going to resign here in the next couple of months, I think it is.
I'm the first press secretary in the history of the United States that's required Secret Service protection.
If you are the spokesperson for a habitual liar, it's like being fire marshal for a pyromaniac. You know, it's not going to end well for you. In this job, she was called upon to choose between her fidelity to Trump and her fidelity to the truth, and she chose Trump. I mean, her legacy is one of defending the indefensible.
Many believe she did a disservice to her country by amplifying some of the president's most controversial claims.
She was telling colleagues that she didn't just want to be an analyst on television. Well, I think she would have a very difficult time. Maybe on Fox she could be an analyst, but I think it would be very difficult.
Her credibility has frequently been called into question.
I mean, that she was a liar.
No kidding.
And that she diminished the office that she held.
It's a cautionary tale for people who go to work for this president. Do you get sucked into the vortex? Do you get sucked into the black hole? Or are you going to work on behalf of the American people?
My guess is that she will end up somewhere in politics in the state of Arkansas, where she won't pay a big penalty for having been Donald Trump's press secretary.
Sarah Sanders lied again and again and again. That's just not my opinion. Those are the facts.
You know, what kind of job can you get as a spokesperson after you've been lying?
Of course, she can't get a job in the media because she's been lying. That's the media in collusion with all the Obama-era officials, with all the Hillary Clinton officials. You heard from George Stephanopoulos earlier this week. And the setup, again, to try to take down the president, the current president. And he was Bill Clinton's, one of Bill Clinton's top advisors. They're all over the place, like Andrew brings out in his article. They're everywhere. And here, as soon as one Trump official announces her resignation, they respond in unison that, well, of course, she's ruined her career. She has no chance of anything in media or otherwise. Because she's a liar. Those are the facts. A demonic network destroying the country, ripping the country apart. My father wrote in the Radical Left article, Satan is marshaling every tool and weapon that he can to wreck this nation. And he's having alarming success. This evil spiritual power is influencing the radical left. Most Republicans don't realize what they're dealing with. People who are absolutely committed to destroying the government of this land. They are committed to destroying the government of this land. And so it is true that that God has temporarily saved Israel. It's just temporary. It's not going to solve the problems that America has, the many troubles that we're facing. But it certainly is exposing. It's at least exposing one great evil. Listen to the president last night as he talked about, again, the double standard when it comes to justice in the United States. This is clip two.
If you want to know how the system is rigged, just compare how they came after us for 3 years with everything they have versus the free pass they gave to Hillary and her aides after they set up an illegal server, destroyed evidence, deleted and acid-washed 33,000 emails, exposed classified information, and turned the State Department into a pay-for-play cash machine.
That's Hillary, or rather President Trump last night, commenting on Hillary Clinton and the free pass that she received. You can only imagine the reaction of all those media voices that you heard earlier if it would have been President Trump or Don Jr. or Ivanka or anyone associated with his campaign or presidency that had deleted 33,000 emails and acid washed the hard drives of all things. President Trump went on to to make a bit of a joke on that very point. Clip three.
They delete and they acid wash, which is very expensive. Nobody does it. They acid wash those emails. Never to be seen again, but we may find them somewhere deep in the State Department. We may. But can you imagine if I got a subpoena? Think of this. If I got a subpoena for emails, if I deleted one email like a love note to Melania, it's the electric chair for Trump.
It's the electric chair for Donald Trump. It's true. It's true. If one email went missing, you know what their reaction would be. He knows. And in the course of his speech last night, he talked about, well, you heard it there. 3 years they threw everything they could at him. He mentioned all of the investigators. He mentioned all of the subpoenas, all of the witnesses. Thousands and thousands of hours of testimony. No evidence, no facts. And believe me, if they would have gotten one email deleted, hidden, that would have been featured. That would have been the headline in the Mueller report. As it was, there was nothing. Notice what he said about, really, the motivation, the intent coming from these Democrats. This is clip four.
The Democrats don't care about Russia. They only care about their own political power. They went after my family, my business, my finances, my employees, almost everyone that I've ever known or worked with. But they are really going after you. That's what it's all about. Not about us, it's about you. They tried to erase your vote. Erase your legacy of the greatest campaign and the greatest election probably in the history of our country. And they wanted to deny you the future that you demanded and the future that America deserves and that now America is getting. Our radical Democrat opponents are driven by hatred, prejudice, and rage. They want to destroy you, and they want to destroy our country as we know it. Not acceptable. It's not going to happen.
That's the president talking about the demonic network. Just like his spiritual advisor said at the start of the campaign, at the start of the event, Rush Limbaugh, this is back in September, he said there's almost like a demonic possession that's come over these people. He says it's becoming increasingly difficult, nigh on impossible, to even describe, much less comprehend. It's becoming difficult to even comprehend this kind of demonic influence, this kind of demonic possession. They're filled with hatred, prejudice, and rage, as the president said. He said in the speech last night that they're fighting back so viciously and violently, these deep state bureaucrats. He said that they're fighting back so viciously that we need another 4 years to expose this. Remember, he said over and again that he feels like this is going to be his crowning achievement. Listen again to what he said last night about the witch hunt. This is clip 5.
We went through the greatest witch hunt in political history. The only collusion was committed by the Democrats, the fake news media and their operatives, and the people who funded the phony dossier, crooked Hillary Clinton and the DNC. It was all an illegal attempt to overturn the results of the election, spy on our campaign, which is what they did, and subvert our democracy. Remember the insurance policy, just in case Hillary Clinton lost. Remember the insurance policy.
I heard at the top of the hour, this is the headline, the news that you get from that outfit in London that we subscribe to, the journalist saying that, well, it was just the same. It was the same stump speech that he gave 3 years ago. I don't think that's the same. There might be some similar themes. There certainly is a lot of energy like there was 3 years ago. That's the same. But think about, as you think about the lead up to 2020, think about the ammunition that he has. Think about how much he knows about this vicious attack on his presidency. He knows so much more than he did in 2015. And you heard a bit about it last night. You heard it right there in that clip. He said earlier, I think it was during the Stephanopoulos interview, that Obama knew. He had to know. Here again is what he said last night, clip 6.
We call it the Russian hoax. Remember President Obama's famous line caught on the open mic, secretly telling the Russian president to, quote, inform Vladimir that after my election, I'll have more flexibility, okay? Remember that? Remember that? A lot of people remember that. I remembered it. I saw it happen. I didn't like it. They don't bring it up. The fake news will never bring it up.
That last bit there, he's pointing to the media. A huge number of journalists at this event. And he says, you won't even bring it up. President Obama leaning over in 2012, thinking that the mics were off, saying he had more flexibility to remove nukes from Eastern Europe after the re-election. President Trump says, I didn't like that. That wasn't right. That wasn't defending America's interests. You talk about collusion. If you want to talk about collusion, if you want to talk about a conspiracy, if you're an honest journalist, well, go back and look at what was happening during the Antiochus administration. Well, we're already a little behind on the time. There's quite a few other stories that Richard emailed me this morning about deficits and so on. Also, too, I didn't see as many stories on this, but there was the video yesterday of Angela Merkel shaking. She was with, I think, a Ukrainian leader And I think the reports coming out there later said that she was severely dehydrated. And after the event, went on to hydrate herself and so on. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Brad McDonald might be working something up on her health. And, of course, the last months of her reign as the German chancellor. Pretty symbolic, if you think about it. Her shaking, as she's shown there in the video. And when you look at the weakness that's there right now, as we await for that prophecy in Daniel 8 to be fulfilled, the strong leadership, the strong man that's about to come on the scene. When we come back, we'll continue with our Bible study, the one we started at the start of the week, A Mind Like God's. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
A turning point in recent history has gone almost entirely overlooked. Since that time, an unseen cause has brought about national and world troubles in unprecedented fashion. Crises are intensifying as never before. In our generation, we are seeing radical changes to culture, family, education, religion, science, finance, politics, international relations. Everything has been affected. You cannot understand events without recognizing this unseen cause. The United States has been shaken in astonishing fashion. Have you wondered why the world's number one superpower is declining so rapidly? Are you concerned about where the current administration is leading this country? The Bible provides penetrating insight into the invisible cause of society's decline. America is prophesied to fall before it rises again. The Bible also gives extraordinary insight into how that fall will come about. This insight puts the seriousness and urgency of current events in their true perspective. Understand what's in store for America and why. Visit thetrumpet.com and click on the Literature tab to request this free, enlightening booklet, America Under Attack.
The Trumpet Daily.
As I was saying on yesterday's program, if you look at the demonic influence in the world today, it's upside down everywhere that you look. There really is, there should be anyway, strong admonition for us to go to God for help so that we can think straight, so that we can reason the right way. So that we can think the way that he thinks. So that we can have a godly type mind. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's heart. He had a mind like God's. He thought like God. He had God's nature, and that's what we're here learning to do. It's not easy in this present evil world, as Paul said. So much foolishness. So much darkness, spiritually speaking. So much perversity. In Romans 12, it says, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be renewed, Paul said. Don't conform to this world. Don't think like this world. Don't, as one translation says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Don't let that happen. If you look at Western education today, and again, I touched on this a bit yesterday, but it encourages conformity. It encourages groupthink. In fact, it enforces it in many ways. The very people who consider themselves to be so tolerant, they're very much intolerant when it comes to opposing political views or religion, the Bible. They just won't tolerate it. They want to shut it up. They want to blot it out. They want to, as the president said, they want to erase your vote. They want to rewrite the history. Renew the mind. Verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." That's a key verse there. It tells us that if we're going to take on that godly mindset, we better not think of ourselves more highly than we should. Think soberly. Don't let vanity corrupt your thinking. Don't let vanity and arrogance corrupt your thinking. Think on the things of God. Think of the sacrifice God made for us to have an opportunity to think like Him. Human nature, of course, just tends to look at its own abilities and strengths through a magnifier glass. Oh, how we love to exalt ourselves, our accomplishments, our abilities. The Bible says, though, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Be humble. Pray for humility. Pray for God to humble you. In Philippians 2, you want to talk about a passage about humility. It's a wonderful chapter. Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Have a lowly mind. That's not saying, woe is me, everywhere that you go, beating yourself over the head. We can be confident in Christ. There's many verses that bring this out as well. But Christ was humble. Christ was totally dependent on God. David, who had a heart like God's, he humbled himself through repentance and faith. Let each esteem others better than themselves. To do that, you need another mind. You need to think differently. And so Paul says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let that mind in. We have to let God's word dwell in us. That's how we learn to think like Him. There's quite a few verses in Paul's epistles using language like "put on Christ." It's like we would get up in the morning and put on our physical clothing. Put it on. Look into the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God. Be nourished by God's Word, by God's truth. Be led by the Spirit. And when that Spirit of God triggers thoughts in our minds, then act on them. Don't let those impulses go by without acting on them. In my father's meditation tapes from the 1980s, he said, God says that He looks upon the heart. And of course, we need to look. We need to learn to look upon the heart as well, instead of looking at the personality or the outward appearance of the people. We have to learn to look at them the way that God does. Think about David when all of his brothers were put forward. Well, surely these are the ones that are going to be chosen. And David evidently was considered to be the least likely to be selected or set apart or anointed. But God looked on the heart. God looks on the heart. He doesn't look so much on the outward appearance or what it might appear to be on the outside. It says in those those tapes, or my father said, God looks upon the heart this way. He looks upon the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, rather than the fruits of the flesh. He looks on what we're doing, what we're thinking. Consider these two verses in Isaiah 66. It says here in verse 1, thus says the Eternal, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Where do you find God? He's this magnificent creator God, the great creator God, who brought all things into existence. Where can you find him? Verse 2 says, for all those things has my hand made, and all those things has been, says the Eternal, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. That's where you'll find God. You'll find him in individuals who are of a poor and a contrite spirit, individuals that have a humble and repentant spirit. Those are the ones who are opening their minds to the thoughts of God, to God's way of thinking. My father said in those tapes, he says, when you go into a group and you're impressed by maybe the nice personality, the great confidence, the great brilliant mind, and all those qualities like that, maybe it overwhelms you, and maybe it makes you feel a little inferior. But then you have to ask yourself the question, am I looking upon the heart the way God does? Am I impressed by what God would be impressed by? If God walked into this group, would he be impressed? He said, so we need to revamp our thinking and begin to change our thoughts and realize that we're not thinking like God. As we go through this series, remember what Paul said in Romans 12. It's a daily renewal. You can tie in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 as well. Day by day, the renewal, the transformation, the renewing of our mind. That's what it says in Romans 12, too. We read it just a bit ago. But then verse 3 follows that up and says, now, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. We've got to think soberly. We've got to think with a poor and contrite spirit. And then God will fill our minds, our thoughts, with his thoughts, with his reasoning, with his ideas. And that's what we want. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with some email feedback. And then also, as I said at the top of the show, the montage of audio feedback that we've received from you listeners. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. But God wants to bring you out of sin, just as he delivered the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt. He wants to empower you to live sin-free, a totally different, God-centered way, walking in newness of life. It is a life of blessings, of understanding, peace, fulfillment, and joy. But it is not the broad, easy way. Jesus said that narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. This booklet, How to Be an Overcomer, will help guide you along that narrow path that leads to righteousness and blessings. The Christian life is full of challenges and trials. It requires learning God's will and following it, even against temptation and self-desire. It demands struggle and sacrifice. It is a life of overcoming and conquering sin. The Bible backs this up from the first chapters of Genesis to the final chapters of Revelation. Scripture frequently describes it as a struggle, a fight, a battle. How to Be an Overcomer is the perfect field manual you need to rule your own spirit well and to overcome your adversary. Request How to Be an Overcomer today and learn about what it takes to win your war against sin. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
A few comments here coming in just in the last few minutes due to the live YouTube stream. One listener says, all I have to say is it's about time. Another one says, good morning, sorry, but I liked Sarah Sanders. She was always straightforward, always got to the point at her press conferences. Another one says, I don't like politics. However, what is morally right is what should be looked at. How sad that the USA has come to this. And then another one, it's so true. This kind of behavior from the left makes no sense other than they are being led by demons. We have listeners, by the way, tuning in or watching the YouTube stream from London, I'm told, India, Cyprus, another one in Colorado, and then Pennsylvania, just to give you a few of the states or countries that are tuning in. More generally now, an email that came in response to, I think it was last Friday's show, where I encouraged you, if you're working to improve your health, to bring the power of God into your routine. This listener says, tonight I listened to the Trumpet Daily with my husband, which left us both greatly encouraged. Your message toward the end left me inspired and deeply touched. I will remember to ask God every day for more energy and strength, and am much more excited about the future now knowing that God has promised to help and strengthen his people when we ask him, even when in our later years. You know, these last few weeks, even with some big trials for both of us, I can report that my cough is gone. Well, she goes on to talk about some of the improvements in her health. So she's very encouraged and excited about continuing on in this course and really bringing God into it more directly. A couple of other comments about, to just paraphrase one listener from the UK who very much appreciated the audio journal from the trip into France from a few weeks back. And then another one who congratulated us on the 1,000th episode of the Trumpet Daily radio show. So with that, we will transition into the audio feedback that we got. And I would just say, because we had a couple of people asking questions, there's really no way to respond on the audio format on the website. So if you do have questions that you want answered, we'd rather receive that in print or through email. The audio clips, we're just collecting those so that we can play them like we're about to do here to end today's program. So with that, I'll conclude today's show with some feedback from you listeners.
Thank you, Mr. Gerald Fleury and Stephen Fleury, for all of your sacrifices. We're praying for your health and for these packed meetings. We appreciate every day these Trumpet Dailies and all the many sermons that are given. What an honor we have been given to be a part of this wonderful work for everyone's sacrifice. Let's rally together and give it everything we've got.
It was truly uplifting and inspiring to listen to your audio journal surrounding the celebrations of the day landing. You succeeded in making me feel as though I was a part of the journey. The lovely background sounds of music, jets flying over, etc., mingling in with your speaking, added to the effect of me feeling as though I was there. You shared the voices and viewpoints of all your traveling party.
I want to say thank you for the program, the Trumpet Daily TV program, how we can fulfill all God's will. And it's very encouraging
First, I would like to say how honored I am to be co-workers since 1998-99 and to witness this great work during this era. I witnessed a dramatic increase in the power of the messages, of the articles, of the sermons coming from the PCG headquarters.
Thank you for the program today. I really appreciated the Bible study about War of the Wills. Recently, I have been studying about the War of the Wills in The Overcomer, and it's very inspiring. And I appreciated how you showed how Christ was the example that we are to follow and the focus he had on the Father's will. It really teaches us what we are to do, focus on the Father's will. Thank you.
Just want to say hello, Mr. Fleury, and wanted to thank you and everyone that put such effort into telling the truth and telling things as they're happening and being so honest and a true joy and a privilege to be able to tune in and to hear you guys offer the only source of truth. And it's really refreshing. And I just want to let you guys know you are truly appreciated and enjoyed. And keep up the great work. And we pray for you constantly and ask God to guide it always. We just want to say thank you. Have a great day.